Well, greetings everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally and internationally, 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 120 countries worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on the rackets when we come back. You know, we Americans may hold the dubious honor of being the most litigious people in the world, and when it comes to law, we seem to be among the most ignorant. Today, most Americans feel powerless to resist the evils that they see perpetrated against our liberties, our privacy, and our property by these powerful government agencies, multinational corporations, the lobbies, and the news media. But you know, we don't have to remain helpless. The institution, which was designed by God and incorporated into our Constitution and Bill of Rights, is called the judicial power. The courts are the proper repository for the protection of our rights, liberties, and property. It's not the Congress or the political process. Now, did you know, for instance, that the privilege against self-incrimination is neither accorded to the passive resistant nor to the person who is ignorant of his rights? Not to someone who is indifferent thereto, because it's a fighting clause, and its benefits can be retained only by sustained combat. It cannot be claimed by an attorney or a solicitor, and it's valid only when insisted upon by the belligerent claimant in person. That's a direct citation from U.S. v. Johnson, and that's why I contend that you and I ought to listen more to our judges, and a hell of a lot less to our politicians and lawyers. Now, did you hear what that judge said in that statement? He told you plainly. He says your rights cannot be claimed by your attorney or your solicitor. Your rights can only be claimed by you, the belligerent claimant, and in person. Now, if you'd like more information about courtroom strategy and procedure, why don't you call us here at the law school? The number is 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, while you're at it, be sure to ask for our free general law CD package. That's the place to start. It's a four-hour commentary on the law school. And it's entertaining, it's educational, it's informative. Best of all, it's free. You can call and order one right now. Courtroom Strategy and Procedure is available on compact disc. That's our school for home education. And if you're online, you can go to our website, georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Just click on to the email. Send us an email request for that free general law CD package. Okay, once more, that's georgegordon.org. Or call us direct at 417-273-4967. Why don't you do it right now while you're thinking about it before you forget. All right, we're talking about the rackets. When we think of the rackets, we think of the mafia, the mob, the dons. We think about the movies, you know, on The Godfather, that the rackets are run by these wicked, evil Italians. No. You got that backwards. There's actually two racketeering organizations in America. One is the United States government, and the second is called the Mafia. And these two institutions are fighting and warring over turf. That's what the real bottom line is. Now, I don't know how many rackets there are. I told you that the racket, I looked it up in the dictionary, a racket is an activity that is illegal, dishonest, fraudulent, and uses threats and harm to defraud you or to take from you that which is illegal and unlawful. And these people are called racketeers. Well, the President of the United States, George Bush, is a racketeer. He sits at the head of a mafia organization called the United States government. We have a lot of those. We have some inferior governments. They're called the states of New York and California. And then we have some inferior governments. Those are called cities and counties. And these are racketeering organizations. They're organized crime. And we all participate in it. All of us registered voters get out there and we get to elect and to select the people who are running our rackets. Now, a racket is an illegal activity. Every one of these rackets, now there's 20 of them, listen to these. The charities, you know, like the Red Cross. Stocks and bonds, you know, like Merrill Lynch. Drugs and pharmaceuticals, you know, companies, you know, like Merck and Pfizer. And the war racket, you know, those are companies like Boeing and Lockheed Martin. The war on drugs, you know, this is the war on cocaine and heroin. Chemical fertilizer, archaeology, vaccinations, the oil crisis, evolution, food, education, medicine, the income tax, government regulation, insurance, the lotteries, lawyers, the law, banking, and religion. Here's 20 rackets, 20 criminal activities. All violate the Ten Commandments and the law of God, every single one of them. And here's the kicker. The United States government is involved in all 20, every single one of them. Now, the mafia, those are the people that we like to think of as being the rackets and the racketeers. Well, the mafia, they are racketeers. They are criminals. They violate the law of God. But they don't violate all 20. They just violate some of the 20. For instance, loan sharking. Let's just take a look at loan sharking. The thing of loaning money and gouging people with 30% interest, you know, things like that, you know, that's called loan sharking. All right. Well, here in the state of Missouri, we have a loan sharking operation that was created by our legislature and signed into law by our governor, Mel Carnahan. They're called title loans. And the companies that sprung up around this are called title loan companies or payday loan companies. And they can charge 9.9% interest per month. That's 118% interest per year. I've never heard of the mafia getting 118% per year. So the state of Missouri and the mafia are both engaged in loan sharking. Now, the United States of America authorizes banks, you know, like Discover and MasterCard and Visa, to charge you up to and including 32% interest on your credit cards, and they often do. That's loan sharking. Now, just because the government has the power to enact these laws and make it legal, and the mafia don in New York doesn't mean that they're legal. They were declared to be illegal by the creator of the universe. You know, the guy that's the big guy, you know, up there in the sky. He said, don't do that. Now, prostitution is strictly prohibited in the Bible. In fact, God, the creator, now he says, you take these whores out and you stone them to death. We're going to eliminate whores and whoredom in the kingdom. Now, the government doesn't do that. The mafia goes out and recruits women and pimps to go out and make money through prostitution. And then when the government comes along, they say, oh my God, that's wicked and evil. Prostitution. Let's make it against the law. So the state of New York passed a law and they said, prostitution is illegal. So you got these prostitutes running around in Times Square. And you got undercover agents in Times Square. And they run out and they solicit a prostitute. And then they arrest her and they take her down and they fine her $1,700. And then they take the $1,700, that's their cut. That's the way the government operates prostitution in New York. It's through the court system. They fine the prostitutes and take the money. And, you know, to a whore, that's just a cost of doing business. It's like paying a pimp, you know. I mean, you know, the girl has to have customers. And while she's entertaining one customer, her pimp is out here lining up a couple of more. They're called Johns. It's just business, nothing personal here, you know. So for you religious people that think that prostitution's bad, well, you're right, and God told you not to do that. And so you're right when you say, well, we need to put this prostitution on hold. Well, prostitution is put on hold by the creator of the universe by the capital punishment, the death penalty. And you see, you goody two-shoes religious people, you can't do that. It's not kind and gentle to kill whores. And so you people are out there saying, well, what we need to do is to shift this over. We'll make it illegal for the mafia to conduct prostitution, but we'll make it legal for the state of Nevada, who collects a tax off of Mustang Ranch and the houses of ill repute. You know, that's the flesh industry of Nevada. And every once in a while, they go out and arrest them. That's the way the government makes their money. They arrest them and take them in, fine them, turn them loose again so they can go out and make some more money. So they can get caught again. So, and it just goes around and around and around. What goes around comes around. Okay. Now we got the protection racket. Now see, the mafia goes out and they'll come right into your store and say, hey, pay us $100 a week or we're going to burn your store down. And that's a threat of harm. Well, the income tax is exactly the same thing. It says if you don't pay us this kickback every year, if you don't sign up, fill out your 1040 form, pay us, this is what we want, then we're going to put you in prison. And they do. They put people in prison for not paying their income tax. Now, God doesn't do that. The creator of the universe, he has a taxing system. It's called tithing. And the income tax is a counterfeit of the tithing system. Not only does it charge you more than 10%, but in addition to that, puts you in prison if you don't pay it. God only charges 10%, and he doesn't put you in prison if you don't pay it. I just thought I'd point that out. Now, the numbers racket, we call it the lottery. So when the mafia is running the numbers racket, it's wicked and evil. But when the state's running the numbers racket, we call it the lottery. God, that's righteous because we finance public school with it. Well, it's what we do here in Missouri. I don't know what you people in New York or California do with your lottery proceeds. But here we spend it, they tell us that we spend it on schools. But hell, schools are the tenth plank to the Communist Manifesto. And besides that, God told you to educate your own child at home to His law, the Ten Commandments, and you people aren't doing that. You're sending them to a public school and educate them to the 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto. Remember? Alright, now I could go on and on, but every one of these 20 that I've come up with here are underwritten by, they are financed by, they are regulated by the United States government, the state government of Colorado, the city of Denver, or the county commissioners of Denver County or whatever your county is out there. I mean, you know, you people are involved in the rackets. And then you go out and you vote. See, this is the kicker. Then you go out and you vote, you know, for these people so that you can be a surety underwriter and a participant in the rackets. Well, okay. Now, I don't feel sorry for people that are poor getting ripped off by insurance companies. I mean, hell, you know, you don't need to buy insurance. You don't have to participate in a single one of these rackets. Did you know that? I mean, you've got free moral agency. And if you learned, you know, a little something about law, and if you applied that little something that you know about law to, let's say, vaccination. I wanted to pick out vaccination. That's a big topic. In fact, I went over to my file cabinet. It's the thickest file in my file cabinet, this thing of vaccination. God, we love it, don't we? In fact, Americans subscribe to vaccination when you go out and do public opinion surveys and polls and one thing. What do you think of people being vaccinated? 88% of Americans believe in it wholeheartedly. That vaccination prevents disease. Vaccination is good for everybody. Everybody should be vaccinated, and especially children. And down in Texas, they just came up with a new vaccination. It's a cancer vaccination for uterine cancer, and they're vaccinating young girls, 12 years old through about 18. Compulsory, state-ordered vaccination. You gotta do it. If you don't, it's the law. Can't go to public school, which is the 10th plank to the Communist Manifesto. My God, they're going to tell you that you can't practice the 10th plank to the Communist Manifesto if you don't have this vaccination. But You can't get cancer if you don't participate in the program. We're going to deny you cancer. I don't know, boys and girls, it doesn't make any sense to me, but, you know, if it makes sense to you, get after it. Now, vaccination is opposed by about 12%. I'm one of those 12% of the lunatic fringe that doesn't believe in vaccination. Hell, I avoid vaccination like I avoid AIDS, herpes, and VD. I'm running as fast as I can to get away from health insurance. I'm running as fast as I can to get away from vaccines. Now, you can avoid vaccines if you put your mind to it, but it takes a little legal knowledge. I mean, you got to know a little something about what you're doing here, or you're going to get caught up in it. Now, this vaccination program here is a racket. It's illegal. It's dishonest. It's fraudulent. It's done by threat, and it causes harm. Does all five. And the government orders it, backs it, profits from it, and there's a government industry conspiracy, a government industry symbiotic relationship here. Now, your government comes along and they enact laws and they say you have to be vaccinated. And then the pharmaceutical company comes along and they say, we're going to charge you $25 for this vaccination. And then if you're poor and can't afford it, we'll have the taxpayers pay for it for you. So they got me and you and everybody else out here paying for these vaccinations for these poor people that we're not really sure want the vaccinations anyway, because it's the law and they have to get vaccinated and they don't have the money, so you and I have to pay for it. Well, hell, that's good for the pharmaceutical company. I wish I had a law like that. In fact, I went in one time to the legislature, and they were trying to enact this insurance, compulsory insurance law up in Idaho. And I said, I want a compulsory waterbed law. And they looked at me like I was Mork from Mork. And I said, hell, you know, if we can come in here and get the government to compel the citizenry to buy insurance, why can't we get the government to compel the citizenry to buy carpet, to buy television sets, to buy waterbeds to benefit those industries? And the legislatures, the legislators, you know, they're sitting there with their mouths open, gasping for breath at the audacity of a lunatic fringe like me coming in and making such a crazy suggestion. I couldn't understand why it was that the insurance company could come in there and say, look, we got a product here. It's called insurance. And it's so good, everybody ought to have it. In fact, not only should everybody have it, they should be put in jail if they don't buy it from us. I thought, well, that's a hell of a good idea. See, at the time I was in the furniture business, and I said, hell, let's go into the legislature and get them to pass a compulsory waterbed bill. Everybody in Idaho has to have a waterbed. It's good for your back, you know. It's good for your health. It's good for the health, safety, and welfare of the public. And you got to carry proof of waterbed ownership on you at all times with a little card in your back pocket. And if we catch you running around on the streets in open, you know, without your waterbed proof of ownership card upon demand by a policeman, we'll put you in jail for 90 days or 6 months or a year and fine you $1,000. I thought that was a hell of a good idea. The legislature didn't like it at all. They passed the compulsory insurance law, and they wouldn't pass the compulsory waterbed ownership provision. I couldn't understand why. And I'm sure that all you television people out there, I think we ought to have a compulsory television law. Everybody has to have a DVD TV under penalty of law and carry proof of ownership in their back pocket at all times and be fined $1,000 or locked up for a year in jail if they're caught out on the streets without their proof of DVD television ownership. Don't you? Where in hell does it stop? I mean, can't we compel everybody to have a bank account? Can't we compel everybody to buy stocks and bonds? Hell, if we want to solve the economic meltdown and too many people are selling their stocks, why don't we just pass a compulsory law that every American has to own at least 10 shares of some company by law? And if you get caught without proof of stock ownership, you'll be punished by being put in jail. Look, we do it with seatbelts. We do it with insurance. Why can't we do it with stocks and bonds and television and waterbeds? The hell's the difference? Now, for some reason, you know, there's some industries out there that have a little more clout than others. And when we look at the government versus the mafia, well, the government has greater clout than the mafia. but that doesn't make it any more legal. Now, when we look at vaccinations, you know, most of us have had our children, grandchildren, and even great-grandchildren vaccinated against many diseases. But how many of you know how those vaccinations were produced? Some polio, measles, mumps, rubella, rabies, hepatitis A, hepatitis B, chickenpox, smallpox, Ebola, HIV, sepsis, and flu vaccinations use fetal cell lines to create their product. Did you know that? Now, here's your government comes around. George Bush, the everlasting moralist, says, oh, my God, we can't have this fetal cell experimentation going on and financed by government tax dollars. Well, excuse me, Mr. Bush, but you've already got vaccinations with these same fetal cells in them, and you're sticking this polio, measles, mumps, rubella, rabies, hepatitis A, hepatitis B, chickenpox, smallpox, Ebola, HIV, sepsis, and flu vaccinations using these same fetal cells and fetal cell lines to create these vaccines, and you're sticking them into kids every day. Well, you know, it's hypocrisy. I don't know. Is it good? I don't know. I'm not here. I'm not a moralist. I'm not here to tell you what you ought to do or what you shouldn't do. But, you know, you people are over here, many of you fundamentalist Christians, opposed to this thing of using abortion and aborted babies and aborted fetuses over here for stem cell research and one thing and another. And you're taking these same aborted fetuses and sticking them into your kids. Excuse me. But if abortion is bad, what in the hell makes vaccination good by using the aborted fetuses to create the vaccines? Where in the hell is your sense of morality? I don't know. I'm just a reporter. I just wanted to tell you that's the way it is. By the way, this comes from the CDC. I'm just here as a reporter, and you can get this from www.aero-vision.com. A-E-R-O is the way you spell that. It's www.aero-vision, V-I-S-I-O-N.com. There's a little more to the story over here. Can a parent in good conscience have his child inoculated with a vaccine using the cells of preborn children killed by abortion? In the case of rubella, the active rubella virus in the fetal cell line, RA27/3, came from the 27th aborted fetus third tissue culture explant during the 1964 rubella epidemic. Havrix, the hepatitis A vaccine, uses a virus strain from the lung cells taken from a 14-week aborted fetus. Verivax, the chickenpox vaccine, uses cell lines derived from a 3-month aborted fetus and a 14-week aborted fetus. Merck has announced the use of a new fetal cell line, PERC6, to be used to develop their HIV vaccine. PERC6 is derived from the retinal tissue of an 18-week gestation fetus. Scientists now want to create their own embryonic stem cell colonies and feed them using aborted fetal tissue as the cultivating cell substitute. Comes from an article in Celebrate Life, November-December 2002. Fine Young Cannibals, Babies Eating Babies. That's the title of it, Babies Eating Babies. All right, let me take a look at another one over here. Flu crimes at the CDC. The CDC states that 135 children died during the 2003-2004 flu season. 59 of these children had received their flu shots. All right, now 135 children died, and 59 out of 135. Let's just take a little number here. 59 divided by 135 is 43%. So 43% of the children who died in 2003-2004 had their flu vaccine. Now, can you imagine how dead they would be if they hadn't had their vaccine? This is the argument that I hear all the time. I don't know if these people have degrees after their names. I suppose they do. You get your flu shot, and then you come down with the flu. And then I come along, you know, I'm a smartass, and I ask, hey, how come you got the flu because you had your flu shot? And you say, well, can you imagine how sick I would be if I hadn't had my flu shot? That seems to make a lot of sense to Americans. I'm not quite sure how, but it seems to. Never occurs to people that your flu shot caused you to get the flu, and that if you hadn't had the flu shot, you probably wouldn't have gotten the flu, or you might not have. Now, I'm an old man, 70 years old, and I've had the flu a couple of times. I guess I have. I got real sick, you know, felt real bad. Didn't have any flu shots. I didn't pay my $25 and didn't get it. I haven't had a flu shot over the last 10 years, and I haven't had the flu in the last 10 years. I haven't had a flu shot in the last 20 years, and I haven't had the flu in the last 20 years. In fact, I think the last time I got the flu or I got real bad sick, you know, your immune system is what keeps you from getting sick, not vaccines. Did you know that? Yeah. The vaccine doesn't do anything. It strengthens your immune system. That's the fraud. That's the lie that they tell you. The vaccine does not improve. It does not strengthen your immune system. It weakens your immune system, tears it down. Now, that's the truth of the matter, isn't it? Now, that isn't what you believe, but that's what the truth is. Now, there's 135 children died in 2003 and 2004. 59 of these, 43%, had a flu shot. So obviously, the flu shot doesn't work for 43% of the people involved. And they died anyway. That doesn't tell you how many of the other 135 children got the flu but didn't die. I mean, millions of flu shots are given out every year. 43% of those that died had the flu shot. How many of those millions that got the flu shot got the flu anyway? Oh, they don't give you those numbers. But they tell you, oh, you got to have your flu shot. Why do I need a flu shot? I'm an old man. I'm 70 years old. I'm supposed to get my flu shot every year. It's just too much for the CDC to suggest that patients exercise and eat right. Do you think that we ought to exercise and eat correctly? The CDC would rather promote vaccines that contain dangerous chemicals and inject that into babies than promote health. Dr. Hugh Fundenberg, one of the most quoted biologists of our time, says that if an individual has 5 consecutive flu shots, his or her chances of developing Alzheimer's disease are 10 times greater than if they had 1, 2, or no shots at all. Did you know that? Did your doctor tell you, now look, I'm going to give you this flu shot. You mean you came in here, you paid me your $25, and you want it. Now let me tell you that if you have 5 flu shots for 5 consecutive years, it will increase your chances of developing Alzheimer's disease by 10 times. Did you know that? Why do you think that people who get flu shots, old people like me that get flu shots, why do you think we come down with Alzheimer's disease 10 times more often? Well, it's because the flu shots have thimerosal and aluminum sulfate in them. And when you pump these toxic heavy metals into your body, they lodge in your brain, boys and girls, you old folks out there. Now, I don't blame Merck, you know, for wanting to sell flu shots. I mean, that business is business. And if you want a flu shot, I'm not here to tell you not to get one. Hell, that's a choice that you need to make. I think, though, that you ought to be advised that. Somebody ought to come along and say, hey, look, did you know that your chances of getting Alzheimer's are 10 times greater if you have 5 flu shots in a row? Now, what it will do to babies given year after year is anybody's guess, and that's exactly what it is. It's a guess. It's an experiment. No one really knows. We don't know. For there haven't been any tests. We're making those tests up as we go along. Clearly, no longitudinal study has been made with babies on the effect of giving annual flu shots starting from age 6 months. Every year for 40 years, that equals, you got that? This kid now, he's going to get a shot every year, starting at age 6 months, for the rest of his life. 5 shots will increase his chances of getting Alzheimer's by 10 times. What will 65 or 70 shots do? I'm not telling you not to get your flu shot. You people out there, you know, you're adults. You ought to be able to add and subtract and think for yourselves. My common sense says to me that if I'm at age 70, if at age 65 I went in and got a flu shot, 66, 67, 68, and 69, I went in and got my flu shot over the last 5 years, my chances of getting Alzheimer's disease would go up by 10 times. Did I really want Alzheimer's disease? Hell, I think I'd suffer through the flu 5 times rather than trade that for Alzheimer's disease. Well, you might die from the flu. Hell, you might die from a Mack truck. Hell, you might die from a cardio this afternoon. I don't deny it. Hell, I might die from flu this winter. Hell, I might die from flu before the fall is over. Hell, I could die from the flu before the summer's over. Well, you know, that's... But should I go out and get a shot? Well, 43% of the shots given to the 135 children that died didn't save them. As a matter of fact, it probably killed them. Of the 135 children that died from the flu, the vaccine probably killed them. They wouldn't have gotten the flu if they hadn't had the vaccine. If their immune systems are working at normal capacity, you won't get the flu. You won't get sick at all, period. With an already heavy childhood immunization schedule in place and children carrying heavy burdens of toxins, including mercury administered through other vaccines, it's a gamble what will happen to children under the CDC's rule with the addition of the flu vaccine that contains thimerosal. And of course, experimenting with children or anyone else is against the laws of humanity and certainly a serious breach of medical ethics. You know, medical experiments were what was going on in Nazi Germany, and we condemned that, and we killed a bunch of those Nazis, and we said, hey, these guys are criminals. Hung them. Well, if Nazis conducting medical experiments on unwilling subjects was a crime, war crime, why is it legal and lawful in the United States of America to be vaccinating 50 million children a year with thimerosal, with an experiment there that nobody has agreed to, nobody's volunteered for, but which is being conducted without their knowledge, without their consent? Well, of course it's legal because the Congress enacted the legislation that said, of course, it's legal. So we make our own laws, don't we? I mean, that's what a democracy is all about. And a guy by the name of Dick Armey, he wrote a little writer on a bill that went through the Congress here five years ago now. You cannot sue a pharmaceutical company over a vaccine that causes you an injury. Well, who in the hell thunk that law up? The vaccine industry thunk it up and had it passed. Now, you know, just because 88% of you people out there believe that this is good for you, you know, it doesn't mean that it's good for you. 12% of us, we think it's bad for you. Now, I'm not an evangelist. I'm not trying to get vaccines banned. Hell, I don't care if you want to shoot your kid up with thimerosal and give him autism or kill him with a flu vaccine. My point is that I think you ought to be aware of this so that you can make a more intelligent and rational decision. I mean, you know, you're an old man and you're 70 years old. Do you really want to take 5 flu shots over the next 5 years and increase your risk of Alzheimer's disease by 10 times? If you do, get after it. But I think somebody ought to tell you that. It's public knowledge. This is put out, by the way, by the CDC. Who the hell do you think compiles all of these statistics and all this information for Google to categorize, for crying out loud? It isn't George Gordon. I didn't do it. I don't know these facts and figures until I look them up. The addition of the flu vaccine into the childhood immunization schedule, loaded as it is with nasty chemicals like mercury, aluminum, and formaldehyde, reveals the CDC's true colors. As a terrorist organization whose prime target is children, and if not medical terrorists, we would have to see them as medically ignorant or even worse, medically insane. Boys and girls, this is my view. I subscribe to the medically insane view. For you to give your children 35 vaccines by age 5, when you know full well that the incidence of autism has gone from 1 in 10,000, it was 1 in 100,000 in 43, 1 in 10,000 in 1970, to 1 in 68 today. To do that to your child, you have to be medically ignorant or medically insane, one or the other. I'll give you the benefit of the doubt and call you ignorant. Hey, I got to give you a reminder here that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. Now, for more information about the law school and the Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. Now, the law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. Now, that's 8 schools in all. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school. It is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. Now, the law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has our radio log schedule and archives, and all of it can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest, and the law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Now be sure to order yours by calling and asking for it. The number to call is 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief, and the Law Hour and Editorial Review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program, and we often endorse or we recommend books, papers, periodicals, and newsletters to our listeners. Now, these endorsements or recommendations that we give don't mean that our authors and publications that we endorse will necessarily reciprocate. Keep in mind that most of these authors and publications cited here on the Law Hour may be hostile, political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans whose viewpoint may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and Editorial Review either. These opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine. They're mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the views or the beliefs or opinions of the advertisers, the sponsors, the management, or the staff of this radio network or of this local radio station. Now, if you'd like more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org. Again, georgegordon.org, or you can call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we're talking about vaccinations here. Remember, 88% of Americans believe in them, 12% don't. Vaccination and the vaccination industry, the pharmaceutical industry, is a government. It's a symbiotic relationship between government and the pharmaceutical industry. And it is a racket. It is a racket that causes a lot of harm, costs some money, that everybody believes in, everybody loves, everybody likes it. And that's one of the peculiar factors of these rackets. That is, everybody loves them. In other words, you know, you're sitting here complaining about the war in Iraq. You people love war. And you love the effects of war. You love the profits and the employment that comes from war. As evidenced by the fact that from time to time, somebody gets a bug in his bonnet and says, let's close some of these obsolete military bases. I mean, we got military bases that go back to World War II that are obsolete. They don't serve any modern wartime function. And you should hear the stir and the cry and the hoops and the hollers of the local people when we go to close one of those military bases. They won't have it. It's a pork barrel project. And the people want them. Now, you love war. You love the military-industrial complex and the jobs and the economic boost that it gives to your economy. Now, war is a bad business. It kills a lot of people. Tears up a lot of real estate, stirs up a lot of hate and discontent, but it makes a lot of money. And, you know, bottom line is money, and that's just where you're going to have war. Peace, boys and girls, produces no profits. Peace produces no profit. So you're going to have a lot of war, and you're going to have very little peace. And Smedley Butler said that war is a racket. Remember, I gave you that book and told you about it. Trying to figure out where it is here. Let me give you the name and number. War is a racket. I'm going to circle that one off here. I covered it already last week on cancer is a racket. Yeah, cancer is a racket. The medical industry is a racket. And this war is a racket is put out by a guy named Smedley, S-M-E-D-L-E-Y, D. Butler, back in 1932 or 33. And he said, I spent 33 years in the Marines, most of my time being a high-class muscle man for big business, for Wall Street and the bankers. In short, I was a racketeer for capitalism. From war is a racket. This is a three-star Marine general with two Congressional Medals of Honor. I've heard of, you know, one guy in a million gets a Congressional Medal of Honor. This guy got two, 31 years in the military. He said war is a racket. And he backs it up with the names, dates, times, places, facts, witnesses, and evidence. Well, vaccines are a racket. And vaccination has some myths. Let me dispel some of these myths. Dispelling the Myths, Vaccination. This is by Alan Phillips. And an examination of immunization theory and practice exposes fatal flaws that warrant serious consideration and urgent action by health officials, doctors, and the public. Now listen. You can rest assured that every doctor in the country is aware of the vaccination racket. He participates in it. He understands it. He knows it's a racket. And I mean every single doctor. Every single medical doctor knows this. Now, let me give you another shocking number. Pediatricians. Those are called baby doctors. Pediatricians. Okay. The pediatrician is the guy that you take your baby to until he's about 5 years old. And the pediatricians of America are the people who profit the most from these vaccinations. They give your children 35 vaccines between age 2 months and age 5 years. That's the recommended dosage now, 35 vaccines. Now get this. 90%, that's 9 pediatricians out of every 10, do not vaccinate their children. Did you know that? 9 out of 10 pediatricians. And the guy that blew the whistle on that shocking statistic was a guy by the name of Robert Mendelsohn. Now, Robert Mendelsohn was a medical doctor. He was a pediatrician. He was more than that. He was a pediatrician's pediatrician because he taught medicine in a medical school. He was a medical school professor. He's the guy that trained your pediatrician. And he wrote a book, How to Raise a Healthy Child in Spite of Your Pediatrician. Warned you that your pediatrician was probably going to cause your baby more harm than good. And here's the way to avoid it, even though the law requires it. You know, there's legal exceptions over here, which is why we run a law school. You know, my children were all raised without vaccinations. My children all went to public school at some point in their career without vaccinations. Did you know you can join the United States Army with no vaccinations? Serve your time in Iraq and come back home without a single vaccination. Did you know that? Did you know that's provided for by law? I don't know. Most people don't know how to do that. They don't have a legal education. They have a communist education and liberal arts, but they don't know much about vaccination. Now, vaccination, myth number one. Vaccines are completely safe. Americans believe that all vaccines are completely safe. All right. The FDA, the Vaccine Adverse Effects Reporting System, receives about 11,000 reports of serious adverse reactions to vaccination every year. 1%, that's 112 plus, of which are deaths from vaccine reactions. All right? Get your pen out here. Get your pencil out here, children. Write that down. Every year. Vaccines are completely safe. All right. Every year, 11,000 reports come in to the CDC of vaccine reactions. 112 of those reports involve the death of a child by vaccine. Now, it's not very many out of the millions of shots that are given out every year. But, you know, if you think that it's completely safe now, it ain't quite completely safe. You can put your child through these 35 vaccines over a course of 5 years, and only one child out of 68 is going to get autism as a result of it. That's not very many. One out of 68. 67 children will get those same 35 vaccines with absolutely no adverse reactions. Well, I shouldn't say absolutely no adverse reactions. They're going to come out of it without getting autism. So, you know, I can't come along and say, hey, you give your kid these 35 vaccines, your kid's going to get autism. That isn't true. Your kid isn't going to get autism because he got these 35 vaccines. But you're going to increase his chances of it. Now, here's the way to test this out, if you really want to know how this works. You go over to Nepal, and you go way up in the mountains where you get a group of people like the Hunzas that are isolated and don't practice any vaccinations at all. Zero zilch, never had a vaccine for any kid for any cause or reason. Test them and find out how many of those have autism. The answer is zero, none. Okay, see how simple that is? Children that don't have vaccines don't have autism. Did you know that? Name one. Send me a letter. Here's a kid with no vaccines, zero, zilch, vaccines, got autism. Show me one. Kind of reminds me of a guy by the name of Jonas Yoder. This guy, Yoder, is an Amish guy. And he didn't send his kid to public school. This case goes up to the U.S. Supreme Court. And then the state of Wisconsin comes into the U.S. Supreme Court. I mean, these people have letters after their names. These are all lawyers. They came in and they said, you know, the reason that the state of Wisconsin requires all children to be educated until they're 16 years old is because we're concerned about crime. And we believe that if children aren't educated to age 16, they're going to turn out to be criminals. And so we think we ought to educate children in public school until they're 16 because it prevents crime. All right. So the Supreme Court asked the question, okay, we hear you. And the judges said, how many Amish people are locked up in the state of Wisconsin's prisons today? And they went over the state of Wisconsin with a fine-tooth comb. They looked in every prison. They looked in every jail. They were looking for Amish people locked up in prison. Amish criminals. And you know how many they found? Zero. Not a single Amish criminal in the whole state of Wisconsin. So then the Supreme Court came back and said, okay, how many people do you have locked up in your prisons? And they had about 100,000 locked up in their prisons. They asked the question again and said, well, of the 100,000 people that you got locked up in your prisons, or 10,000, whatever the number was, how many of them went to public school? And the answer was every single one of them. Every single convicted convict in the prison system in Wisconsin had been past tense to public school. State of Wisconsin, their lawyers came back and said, well, look, we're concerned about welfare. We want students educated until they're 16 years old in public school to keep them off the welfare rolls, because if they go on welfare, that's bad for society and it's bad for the welfare recipients. So the Supreme Court justices said, okay, how many of these Amish people that you got up here that aren't being educated to age 16 in the public schools, how many of these Amish people are on welfare? So they went out over the whole state of Wisconsin. They took a look at every welfare recipient. They were looking for an Amish welfare recipient. You know how many they found? Zero. They couldn't find a single Amish guy on welfare in the whole damn state. Went out and looked for him. So they got all through looking for them. The judges said, okay, well, how many people have you got on welfare? And they came back with a number, I don't know, 100,000. Got 100,000 people. Maybe a million on welfare. All right. Of those people that you got on welfare in Wisconsin, how many of them went to public school? And the answer was all of them. Every one of them went to public school. See the logic behind this? That's why I tell you that the only real reason, logic, or common sense left in America is in the courts. It isn't in politicians. It's not in lawyers. You're not going to find any common sense in the FDA, the CDC, or the pharmaceutical industry. They don't breed common sense there. You'll find it in the Supreme Court. You'll find judges, when these questions are raised, ask corresponding questions. You'll find it here in vaccination, dispelling the myths. Vaccines are completely safe. Well, they're not. Let's try another one. Vaccination truth number one. Vaccination causes significant death and disability at an astounding personal and financial cost to families and taxpayers. That's the truth about vaccination. Number one, vaccination myth number two. Vaccines are very effective. People believe, if I get this vaccine, it's going to be effective and I won't get the disease. The medical literature has a surprising number of studies documenting vaccine failure. Measles, mumps, smallpox, polio, HIV outbreak have all occurred in vaccinated populations. In 1989, the CDC reported among school-age children, measles outbreaks have occurred in schools with vaccination levels greater than 98%. They have occurred in parts of the country, including areas that had not reported measles for years. The CDC even reported a measles outbreak in a documented 100% vaccinated population. A study examining this phenomenon concluded the apparent paradox is that as measles immunization rates rise to high levels in the populations, measles becomes a disease of immunized persons. A more recent study found that measles produces immune suppression, which contributes to an increased susceptibility to other infections. What that says to you is that when you get your measles vaccine, it will depress your immune system and you'll get some other disease. And your measles vaccine does not prevent measles. Bottom line. Evidence suggests that vaccination is an unreliable means of preventing disease. That's the bottom line. In the United States in 1986, 90% of 1,300 pertussis cases in Kansas were adequately vaccinated. In the 1993 Chicago pertussis outbreak, 72% of the cases reported were fully up to date with their vaccinations. Boys and girls, people who are fully vaccinated. 90% of the time and 72% of the time they get the disease anyway. My God, when you got 90% vaccination rates and you get sick anyway, is it effective? You be the judge. No, I'm not here to tell you. I'm just giving you the numbers. You can go get these numbers yourself. I didn't dream these up. Hell, I didn't conduct any of these experiments. I didn't collect any of these statistics. I didn't do any of these numbers. It's the CDC. It's the Department of Education. They're the people that do the statistics. So when I'm telling you, every doctor in America knows this. You don't know it. You don't know, for instance, that vaccines are not safe. You don't know that vaccines are not effective. You don't know that vaccines are the main reason for low disease rates in the U.S. today. You believe it, but you don't know that. The low disease rates in the United States today are not the results of vaccination, they're the results of sanitation. Not vaccination, it's sanitation. And in those countries in the world that have poorest sanitation, they have the highest incidence of contagious diseases. Sanitation prevents disease. In the flu outbreak of 1918, it wasn't vaccination, it wasn't treatment that stopped the Spanish flu. It was quarantine. It was face masks. It was sanitation, boys and girls, that stopped the Spanish flu. Vaccine is a racket. And the sale of vaccines is a racket, promoted by racketeers at the CDC, at the FDA, at the White House, at the Congress, at Merck, at Pfizer, the vaccine manufacturers, and distributed by drug dealers called allopathic medical doctors, also known as pediatricians. Vaccination is a racket. It's a criminal activity prohibited by God in the Bible. It's prohibited by the statute in Exodus 15, verse 26. Don't do that. We were all told. So when your kid comes down with autism, boys and girls, you caused it. You're the one that brought it about. Blame yourself. That's where the blame belongs. Hey, I got to give you a final reminder here. We're out of time, and you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. Now, if you'd like more information about The Law School and The Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. Now, all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Hey, our time's up. I got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station, talking about this thing of the rackets. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.